We love it that all these churches are represented because we need an all-star team of churches to reach the valley. So thank you for joining us and being together. It's about men. This isn't about title church. It's about men. This is Brady. He's with Teen Challenge. Have any of you not heard of Teen Challenge? Okay, thanks. You guys can go home. You're all good to go. Teen Challenge is in the business of helping guys turn their lives around from addiction, right? I'm going to let you do the show. But it hits home for me because I got a kid who's dealing with an opiate addiction. So if you want to see what does a dad of an addict look like, here I am. Dan, stand up. What does a dad of an addict look like? Alan, stand up. Now, you can sit down. We can only handle that much good looking in 1 minute, you know? Now, I remember like it was yesterday when Dan stood up, quivering in his voice, begging for prayer for his kid. I mean begging. Because Alan was in a bad, he was circling the drain, not doing well. And now by God's grace and his good choice, he's back into a great spot. And about 90 pounds less? Or 90 more? Hey. 90 more, that makes sense, yeah. So if you would, Brady's going to tell their story. Going to have a couple guys come up and give their testimony. Tell us your story. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a good pleasure and honor to be here today. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus Christ.
Hey, you got till 6:51.
6:51.
Manage it.
All right. I'll do my best. So some of you guys, a lot of familiar faces. My name is Brady. Some of you guys know me as Kip. You could call me Coach Thiessen. I grew up in the church, great parents, loving father, very blessed as a child growing up. Grew up in a sports background, and pretty much baseball was everything to me. God was second, I guess you could say that. I knew right from wrong. I started dabbling in drugs when I was about 17 years old, peer pressure, whatever you want to call it. By the grace of God, things came to light, and I turned my life. I started going to the well when I was about 20 years old, and right then and there, that's where God was working on me. But I wasn't completely done with the double lifestyle, so I started dabbling in with pills and alcohol, mainly pills, opiates, and everything you can think of. You would see me as a Christian, but there was a double life, and there was alternative motives. I remember there was a message that actually Brad preached. It was back in 2013. It was Hebrews 12:1, and he was talking about any weight that was hindering you from God. You need to cut it off, and I knew exactly what it was. It was drugs and alcohol, and I justified it because I was prescribed it, so I thought, well, I'm prescribed this, I'm fine, I need this, but we serve a big God, and Jesus is all you really need. Just because alcohol's accepted in this society, it's very easy to do, so that's kind of where I went wrong, and the Lord Jesus would work in my life. I was actually in full-time ministry before I went to Teen Challenge. I was working for FCA. I worked with Athletes in Action as well, and you need to have a complete relationship with the Lord to live your life. So God humbled me. I got a DUI back in 2013, and that opened up the doors for me to go into Teen Challenge. And Teen Challenge is a wonderful ministry. We have 120 students. I've been a staff member there for 2 years now, and just to see Jesus work, I mean, it's a great program, but the truth is Jesus is the main reason for that ministry. So what Teen Challenge looks like, it's a pretty strict program. We offer help to anybody that needs it. You don't have to pay anything to come in. And right from the beginning, I'm the first phase teacher, and we go straight to the Bible, the Word of God, and we just teach that Jesus is the answer, and he's the way, the truth, and the light, and nobody comes to the Father except through me, and I live by that. The biggest thing, when I came into Teen Challenge, knowing the Lord and living that double life, I remember a verse that stuck out, and it was, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And God was just beating that into me, and I remember saying, hey, I know the Word of God, but the truth is, I didn't know how to apply it. It was very difficult for me because I had this pride issue that I needed to check at the door, and it's very humbling to go into a program, especially if you were in full-time ministry and you know the Lord, because when you come to Teen Challenge, you have all types of people. You have people that are coming out of prison, that are coming out of the opiates, you have the alcoholics, you have the potheads, you have all these different people, and it was hard to mesh with. Most of them aren't even athletes, so I had nobody to relate to, and that was probably the best thing for me, because God showed me that there was more to life than sports, and more to life than what I thought. For me, it was very easy, because I had a dad that would support me. He always lived for God. He was a coach in the Valley, and I remember playing for him, but watching his life, he would actually serve the Lord through the highs and the lows, and he was a good role model for me, but it was because Christ was in the center of our house, and it really helped me out. But we have, this is Teen Challenge over here. We have a group. Can you guys raise your hands? Stand up. So as you can see, there's more than just, it's not just for teenagers. I mean, it's 18 to 65. It started out in the 50s for the teens. There was a drug epidemic in New York, and there was a pastor that wanted to reach the teenage life and the gangs, and so he would go and plant churches, and then this ministry just took off, and we have about 1,500 centers across this country, and we're kind of newer to the Central Valley. We've been here for 2 years now, 2.5 years, and it's a great complex. I mean, it's amazing what God can do, and we actually share a complex with Emmanuel Sports, and they have a nice complex as well, and they allow me to coach. They let anybody coach over there, apparently. But just to see God's hand in my life shows that there is a God, and if you know anything about addiction, I don't know if you guys have been in it at all. It's not easy to overcome something, especially if you could justify it. People across, I'm sure in this room, struggle with things that most people don't know about. And the truth is, everything comes to light. And the Lord, what I learned is the Lord won't be mocked. I mean, and he's so gracious and he's so loving and he wants to have a relationship with you. He will bring everything to light. He won't be mocked. And that's for sure. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask Mr. Joe Xavier. He's one of our students. He's a recent graduate. He did the whole year, and then he did the apprenticeship. So he did 16 months, the extended version. He was an athlete, so I tend to ask the athletes to come in. So we're going to have him speak, and then my dad's going to share his background. And then we'll close with Alan, who is working for Las Vegas. And then we're going to have some table testimonies, so feel free to ask these guys anything. They're well prepared. But I'm going to turn it over to Joe. So, here
you go. Okay, well, my name is Joe Xavier. I recently graduated from Teen Challenge on my 28th birthday from my apprenticeship. And let me just tell you that, thank you. Thank you. Going through Teen Challenge was very difficult. It was nothing by any means that was easy. By the grace of God, he led me there into a relationship with him, and my life has never been the same. It's been 100% better. And it's only because of Christ and what he's doing through me now that I could see that. And I could feel his presence all the time now. And that's because I seek out after him. And that's something I've never done before. So it's something to me that's very encouraging to see is like Brady and the guys that work there that push guys to go and be the best they can in Christ. And so a little bit about me. I have the same lot of similarities to Brady there. I grew up in Selma, sports guy, played baseball my entire life. That was something that that I did, that I prided myself in, and that's something that I thought I was always going to do was play ball. Some of you might know my daddy's right back here, Big Joe. I wanted to be just like him and play pro baseball, and so I went through high school, went to COS, played baseball there for a couple of years. I redshirted 1 year, played 2 years, and that's where I started to party and to get into alcohol, drugs, girls, you know, all the things that lead you astray from the Lord. And that's where my problem with alcohol and marijuana started. I continued to go to school, and I actually went to a private school in Kentucky and got my bachelor's out there and played baseball out there. And it continued. And it just got worse and worse. As I thought it was getting better, it was actually going downhill. And so had a pretty good senior year. Wanted to get drafted, and you know, that was my whole life goal, was to just continue to play ball. And so I put all my eggs in one basket, and that was something that I continued to put the Lord on the back burner. And each year of my life doing that, he got farther and farther back. I always prayed, but I didn't know who I was praying to. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that I had to pray. And so I think that was his way of kind of staying in my life and guiding me, even though I didn't know he was doing it. So once I finished school and baseball was over, I didn't know what to do. I went to a very deep depression, and I filled that void with alcohol, drugs, women, and I came back home. I moved to San Francisco area with some buddies, and that's where I got my first DUI, and then I only have one, thank God, and that happened in 2013, so a couple of years went by, and continued to do the same thing, and not seek after God, and not go to church, or not ever pick up my Bible. I had it, but it was a dust collector. And so I got into some debt, and I said, man, you know what, I need to move back home. And so my parents luckily said, all right, come back home, get your stuff together, get your finances together, and then you can go back out and do what you gotta do. So I said, all right. So I moved back home. And that's when I connected with some old friends, and I started to dabble in cocaine. And before I knew it, 2 years went by, and I went from doing cocaine once a month to once every weekend to once every 3 days to every other day to every day. And having a $500 to $600 habit a week is something that caught up with me. Physically, I was out of shape. I was just terrible looking. Mentally, I was just so far down in the dumps, and I literally hated myself. I couldn't even look myself in the mirror. And that was something that, you know, eventually caught up with me, and my parents said, you know what, we can't take this no more. You got to go. So my dad said, pack your stuff and you got to go. And that was probably one of the hardest things that he ever had to do. But honestly, it was the best thing for me at the time. So I packed my stuff up and went to my buddy's house. And then my mom, you know, her and my dad being Christians and coming here. I remember sitting in these seats right over here, coming to church and either falling asleep or just sitting there wanting to leave. And I listened to the message, listened to the worship, and I would cry, and I could feel God pulling on my heart, but I was pushing him so far away that I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, but he can, and he did. So I remember my mom texting me, like, you need to go to Teen Challenge. You need to go to Teen Challenge. And I said, man, I'm not going to Teen Challenge. It's a year-long program. Like, no way am I doing that. And so a couple days went by, and I was literally sitting on one of my friend's mom's trailer's porches, and I was high, and I was just, I looked at my picture in my phone, and at that moment, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was tired of hating myself. I was tired of being high. I was tired of doing drugs. I did not want nothing more to do with that stuff. But, so, you know, my parents texted me, go to Teen Challenge. So I said, you know what, fine. My buddy, who I was at, he and Brady linked up. They said, you know what, come on a visit. And so I said, all right. So I went on a visit. 3 days later, I was in the program. And, you know, a week into the program, I gave my life to the Lord. That was the best decision that I have ever made in my life, besides baseball, besides school, anything. That was something that I'm very proud of myself personally, because now I wouldn't have traded it for the world or anything, the relationship I have with Jesus Christ now. So I did the program. I stayed and did an apprenticeship. Now the Lord's put on my heart to go and talk to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and be a speaker at their groups. I've gone to 5 to 6 different schools already, anywhere from 5th and 6th graders to high schoolers, and I plan on going to the colleges and speaking to young athletes about what it is to have an identity in Christ and what it is that they should be looking for and striving for, instead of filling that void, to fill it with Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm got my CBEST test done, so I'm going to be in the process of being a teacher, and that's what I want to do now. The Lord's put that on my heart, and I'm going to go after it with everything I got. And yeah, the Lord's done a lot in my life, and I couldn't be more happy. So thank you.
Good job, Joe. At this time, I'm going to ask my dad to come up, Coach T. Coach T. This guy has really helped me out. You guys may know he got the West Nile virus, and God used that to draw me closer to him as well, and I'm sure him as well. But I'm going to turn it over to him. He's a better speaker than I am, that's for sure. Here you go.
How much time do I have?
You got till Tuesday.
Oh, gosh. No, seriously. Good evening, everybody. How you guys doing? It's good to see all your smiling faces out there. So I was asked to kind of give my perspective a little bit on what it's like to be a parent of a child that's going through an addiction and going through Teen Challenge. So how to make a long story short here. I could probably stand up here for 40 minutes, but I'm not going to do that to you. Back in October of 2013, it was October 20th at midnight. I'll never forget it. For a parent to find out that one of their son or daughter is in jail on a Sunday night is not the most exciting news to find out. Growing up with our 4 kids, we would never imagine, you know, taking them to church and going to church and modeling the Christian life and everything. And, you know, the one thing that you don't ever envision is, you know, one of our kids is going to have an addiction. But it happened. And it was okay because God was right there with us. But I remember, to let you know how it felt, I remember dropping off our son at Teen Challenge and Chapter a couple days later, and, you know, you talk about prayer. Our prayer life went to another level because that's all we could do. Is that really how we should pray? It shouldn't be all we can do. It should be the most important thing we do. And at that time, it was we praise God for Teen Challenge because God gave us Teen Challenge, and He was able with the gospel and with Jesus dying for our sins and resurrecting. That's what we could cling to, and that's what spoke through our son's life and my life, my wife's life, and the siblings of Brady Kipp. So it was a tough time. It was a tough time to see a child go through the program, but at the same time, it was a blessing at the same time. And one thing that spoke to me as I went to many different Teen Challenge presentations at the churches and so forth, I started seeing that, hey, wait a minute, I don't have a drug addiction. I don't have an alcohol addiction. Praise God for that. I'm not boasting about that. But is there another area in my life where I have an addiction? And yeah, I did. Mine was pride. Being a former college baseball player, you know, and professional baseball player, you run in a circle of athletes that it's very easy to get sucked into that pride thing. You know, the arrogance and all of those things. And it showed me that I need to drop my pride and I need to humble myself before my God and let Him speak through me through my addiction to pride. So I'm continuing to work on that. I'm continuing to work on that. If my wife was standing right here next to me, her addiction was fear, worry, anxiety. And man, she's come a long way with that too. I'm so proud of her. So my question to all of you is, what is your addiction? What addiction are you dealing with? During this whole time with my son going through Teen Challenge, I also had I was going through West Nile virus. So God used that and also my West Nile deal to just bring each of us, our family, closer to Christ. We're thankful that we get to go to the well here, and we love the teaching. We love the worship. It's unbelievable. But I'm a teacher, and I teach at Clovis North High School, and I teach health. I teach health class. I'm not coaching. I'm teaching health. And I get to talk about life. We get to talk about life. And this is how God works. Teen Challenge is having a big day today, the drama team. They're here today. They're going to come to my first period today, my second period today, my third period today, and minister to our kids at Clovis North High School, separating church and state. But my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will speak to my kids in the way that He's going to speak to them. But at lunchtime, they're going to be there at our FCA. And at FCA at lunchtime, it's on. They can tell you what it's really about at lunchtime. All right? I want you to know that I'm really proud of our son. When people ask me, hey, what are your kids doing? Hey, what's Kip doing? Kip went through Teen Challenge. He had an addiction. He's now working for Teen Challenge. He's a staff member. I'm not ashamed. I'm proud of him. And it could happen. The addiction can happen to anybody. This is what I tell my students at school as we're going through our drug and alcohol unit. It can happen to pilots. It can happen to surgeons. It can happen to teachers. And it can happen to preachers. Right? So, I'm proud of my son for what he's done. I remember, I'm proud of my son.
I'm going to ask Alan to come up. I just met Alan from Las Vegas today. It's amazing to see Teen Challenge and the people you'll meet. New faces. I mean, Teen Challenge is growing, and it's good to see. But we're going to just wrap it up with you, and then maybe have table testimonies. I'm not sure how time is, but okay.
Thank you. Well, good morning.
So, Rusty, you said something earlier from people that are in the church or in their walks of Christianity. They said prayer is not essential. Prayer is one of the most essential things as Christian we can have because that puts us in the relationship with God. That was the sole purpose of Christ's death on the cross was to put us back in relation with the Father. And I think now in our walk, we have to have that relation. We have to be in constant prayer. Prayer got me in the doors of Teen Challenge. Prayer kept me in the doors of Teen Challenge. My prayer life keeps me sober. My relationship with Christ keeps me sober. I just want to give a verse for everybody and for the guys at Teen Challenge. 2 Corinthians 5:17 states, "Therefore, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed, and behold, new things are here." So I just want to say thank you to everybody who was there for my dad when he was in his most trying time in his life. He stood up when I was in my addiction, came to this men's breakfast, and he stood up broken. And you as men were there to surround him with love and with prayers. And you guys constantly prayed for me. Fast forward a year and a half later, I have over a year clean and sober off of methamphetamine and alcohol. Thank you. I joke around sometimes and I say I went to Las Vegas to find sobriety, and I did. Not one of the places you go to get sober, but God could use anybody, any story at any time. I serve in a church down there to where I'm leading the youth group. I'm speaking into their life. I speak in the men's ministry there on Wednesday nights. I teach a Bible study there. And I also am in charge of the intake department in Las Vegas. I am involved in a different jail ministries. God has really made everything new in my life, and that started with prayer. So I just want to say thank you. I just want to pray over the guys from Teen Challenge, if we could all maybe extend a hand over to them, because our prayers is what's going to keep those gentlemen in the door, and it's going to make everything new in their lives. So let me pray over you guys, and then I'll close. So, Father, I just want to say thank you for all the men that stood up and wanted a different lifestyle. They wanted something new in their life, and they didn't want to be doing the same things over and over. They were sick and tired of being sick and tired. I thank you for the change that's taking place in their life. I thank you for the ministry of Teen Challenge, Father, that vessel that you use to save people from themselves and from Satan and from their addiction, Father. I ask that you bless them, bless their families, and protect them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Well, I want to see if, as we wrap up here this morning, if we can anchor this a little bit in a scripture that came to mind as these guys were sharing. But before I get into that, I just want to say this. My name's Brad. I have a new life in Christ. And the Lord is recovering me from alcohol use, from drug use, from sexual immorality, from pride, from anger, and the tendency to manipulate. I don't know what world you live in, but I live in a broken world. And I don't know what kind of man you are, but I am a broken man. And I am very grateful for the grace of God that makes us new. Sometimes we assume that pastors and spiritual leaders are the guys that have it all figured out. And I just want you to know I'm thankful for a Savior who came to seek and save the lost. I'm thankful for a Savior who said it's not the healthy who need a physician, but the sick. And not only did the gospel do a work in my life back in the day, but the gospel's still doing a work in my life even today. And I just invite you fellas who are maybe like me, a little hard-headed, think you got it figured out, thankful that that's not your issue, but you know some other people have that, to recognize that the gospel can do a work in your life even now. And probably needs to do a work in your life. And what I hope you heard from these guys is not necessarily that they're sober. Their sobriety is a byproduct. It's a byproduct of an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, of a deep and abiding relationship with a Savior whose presence in your life begins to change you. I hope you heard that. Because this isn't about becoming religious. This isn't about making better decisions so that you don't end up at the bar. No, this is about pursuing Jesus. Because every single day, fellas, if we'll set our sights on Jesus and we'll spend time with Jesus and we'll read our Bible and let our Bible read us and we'll invite the Spirit of God to change us from the inside out, we live different because He is different. And we become like Jesus. And when we become like Jesus, He changes everything. Even the things you've tried to hide for so long. Even the things that you might look in the mirror and say, look, at this age, it is what it is. No, the Savior still has the ability to change you. What came to mind is in 1 John. We've talked about this passage, I think, in months previous, but it's one of those verses, I keep trying to get away from it, and the Lord keeps bringing me back to it. 1 John, it says this, if we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. That's a mic drop moment. Because how many guys, to Rusty's point as he started, say they have fellowship with Him? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. And yet you start watching them, and you're like, wait a second. You're watching them play golf or whatever, and you're listening to their vocabulary or, you know, the fourth or fifth cocktail or the second look at the, you know, gal who comes by to sell you a snack and he's hitting on her and you know he's married. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in dark, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What these men just did this morning is walk in light. You have no idea how freeing it is to say, hey, these are the things the Lord is recovering me from. I don't really care if you're impressed anymore. I don't really care if the facade is maintained anymore. What I'd really rather do is just be me. And these men posted up, hey, I went from using cocaine, I heard, once a month to once a week to once every 3 days to once a day. And you own that, and you shine light on that. It's not pride in what you did, it's being honest. And when you walk in light, that's where fellowship is found. Now, some people in that moment, they'll go, oh, again, man, Lord, thank you that I'm not like those guys. Because, man, my issues are nothing compared to their issues. I mean, that's real. Some of you guys have thought that even this morning. Well, listen to this. The next verse says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So don't get cocky. There's no grading scale with sin. These sins are okay. These sins are kind of questionable, but these are the ones that really are not good. There's nothing in the Scripture that puts sin on a grading scale. It is what it is. Sin is equally as offensive to God, even your pride in not having the bigger sins that these other guys have. Right? So if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. And then he says, one of the first verses I ever memorized because I needed it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from some unrighteousness. Is that what it says? All unrighteousness. It's just three letters, but it's one of the most powerful words in all 66 books of the Bible. Because we serve a Savior who is able, by confessing our sins to Him, purify us from all unrighteousness. So as we leave here this morning, I want you to leave here with the understanding of the issue is not sobriety, the issue is intimacy with Jesus. And the statistics that Rusty walked us through as we started this morning are statistics I want you to be thinking about, not necessarily the numbers, but simply this. We got a lot of guys playing church, claiming to have fellowship with Him and yet walking in darkness. And what I want to lovingly do is just take a little proverbial spotlight and shine it into the darkness of all of our lives and go, hey, come on. Let's walk in light, fellas. I don't want to keep promoting a hypocritical Christianity. It's time for us to spend intimate time with Jesus Christ and not be afraid to own our stuff, because God is not surprised. He's omniscient. He already knows. So as soon as we can start bringing that to Jesus and saying, Lord, this is who I really am, I keep looking at porn. Lord, this is who I really am, I'm not kind to my wife. Lord, this is who I really am, I'll cut a corner in business if no one's looking, if it's for my personal gain. Lord, this is who I really am, I take that second look at the barista in that Starbucks every morning. Lord, this is who I really am, the language that comes out of my mouth with the boys is different than the language that I might have on a Sunday. Lord, this is who I really am. And if we can start doing that, boy, now you're having fellowship with one another and intimacy with God. Let's walk with Jesus. I'm thankful that there's guys from all kinds of churches here. You've heard a lot about the Well. You need to know our city is special, and there are phenomenal churches in our community. You need to find a church that's willing to offend you. Because the Bible, when it's taught right, is going to be offensive. Because the holy God and a holy revealed word, when taught to a broken man, ought to cause some offense. And then in that, when you hear the word of God taught by whatever pastor you're sitting under his teaching, would you respond? And let's walk in intimacy with Jesus as men. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let me pray for us. We'll wrap it up. Anything before I close? Let's pray. Would you stand with me, fellas? Father, we stand in ovation of you because you are a Savior that is worthy to be worshiped. And God, we got dudes in here who, like the fellas that shared from Team Challenge, we're so proud of them because they're walking in light. They're owning their stuff. And Lord, we stand as brothers and lock arms together and say, God, thank you for the courage of these men to own their stuff. And to allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the people of God to transform them into who they now are. That the old things have passed away, indeed new things have come. We celebrate that. But we also stand, Lord, as brothers, knowing that there are some men in here whose hearts are hardened to you, who are playing on the outside like they're one thing, but on the inside they're different. In public, they have a persona of spirituality, but in the privacy of their own lives, when no one else is looking, they become something else. God, could they have the courage to walk in light? That we would bring all of our life into submission to you. All of our life, all of our actions, all of our motives, all of our thoughts, all of the things we look at on the internet or on our smartphones. Lord, even all of the things we do on a Friday night or at the turn or at happy hour. That, Lord, all of that will be brought into submission to Jesus. And so as we continue to gather as brothers, may we lovingly push on one another to grow in Christ. Or as the author of Hebrews put it, that we would consider how to stimulate one another onto love and good deeds. And so, Lord, we'll thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, as you grab a seat, no need to run out of here quite yet because I think we got like a forklift full of burritos if you want some more. There's some Teen Challenge dudes at the tables. If you guys are interested in hearing about these guys and their journey, these guys are going to be sharing their stories. Otherwise, do this. Hey, before you leave, listen to me now. Do this. Make sure you meet somebody here this morning that you've never met before. Don't just sit with the same guys. Go shake some dude's hand, give him a rock, and then we're out of here.